Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The guys on The Big Show have been going at it for 3 hours, but they haven't crashed and burned. Yet.
Well, it's The Big Show.
It's time to reset today's big topics and let you pick a lane. Brought to you by the legendary Great Lakes Dragaway in Union Grove. Purchase your 2020 season passes at greatlakesdragaway.com.
Great Lakes Dragaway, pick a lane, 105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com. I appreciate you hanging out. Steve Sparky Pfeiffer alongside Leap 36, Leroy Butler, the soon-to-be Pro Football Hall of Famer. If you missed our conversation with the Pro Basketball Hall of Famer, Sidney Moncrief, after the Bucks beat the Charlotte Hornets 116-103 out in Paris, go listen right now.
He's a funny dude.
Hit it on the Rewind app, radio.com app, the invention we've all been waiting for and didn't even realize it.
You can go to 1057fmthefan.com, that's it.
That's the website.
Brought to you by John Paul's Buick GMC.
It's the easiest way to do it, and it's always there, and we don't even charge you for any of our podcasts, unlike certain four-letter competitors. They decide to try to charge you for it. We allow you with all our great content for free to go back and listen and enjoy again. Radio.com Sports NFL Insider Michael Lombardi and the former GM going to join us here in a couple of minutes from right now. But while we wait, let's reset the big topics and give you the final say on them with Great Lakes Dragway. Pick a lane, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Sparky, Brian Bulaga is going to be one of the main question marks as to what does Brian Gutekunst bring back this year, and is he able to bring a guy like Bulaga back? Is the Mason Crosby going to continue? What about Tremont Williams? But earlier on today, when we asked how much confidence do you have in Brian Gutekunst going into year three after his season-ending press conference, the one that really stuck with us of a vote of confidence may have been Rashawn Gary.
He contributed quite a bit. I mean, he was behind two really, really good players, and he didn't see probably the normal amount of snap time that you would get from a first-round draft pick. But when he was in there, I thought he affected the game. His explosiveness off the edge was very evident and affected the passer when he was in there. So I'm excited for him. I think he's got a great coach, and he's got a couple great players in front of him that he's learning from. So, yeah, I'm excited to see what he can do in year two.
There's a lot of openness, a lot of honesty with Brian Gutekunst. A lot to like, but also some questions to arise from how much confidence do you exactly have in Gutekunst going into his third year?
Well, I think from a free agent standpoint, you got to be pretty excited after what he did last year. Really didn't miss last year in free agency, so I think you're happy there. Draft-wise, I still don't know where his strong suit is. Again, it's small sample size, only two drafts. So I'm not really able to pinpoint, like, Ted, you knew wide receivers. Like, he's just going to hit them. Well, clearly, that's not good in strength. Wide receiver so far early on, not something he's really good at. Running back, those weren't his guys either. So I don't really know about running back at this point. It looks like Savage is a good safety, so that was good. Alexander appears to be a pretty good cornerback, so I think that is something that's good for him at this point. And Jenkins at guard, that's good.
Good one.
Oh,
good
one. On one.
Big
right?
time.
So you got those three guys, and then I don't got nothing else. So, I mean, I'm still a little skittish about the draft. I'm waiting for him to really have that huge draft that really can put this team over the top for 5 or 6 years when you hit on a draft where you get, you know, 4 or 5 guys all in one draft that all become key contributors. So I guess I'm still a little concerned about the drafting. But free agency, he definitely knows what he's doing there.
And in free agency is where he's going to have to correct some of these holes, Leroy. Now, this soundbite from Brian Gutekunst earlier today when he addressed the media also brings in some confidence for me because he understands that he had some holes last year. He also knows that he might have another hole this year as well.
Traditionally, linebackers come from everywhere through the draft. I think it's a little bit scheme specific. Facing today's offenses can be really difficult from that position because there's so many things you have to do, not only from athletically, but mentally as well. I mean, there's so much on those guys' plate, setting the fronts, communication on the back end and then making the right decisions and then having the athleticism to cover backs and tight ends and carry seams. It's difficult. That is a difficult skill set to find. When you have those guys, it does free up your defense to do a lot of different things.
Mm-hmm. So he believes that it's very, very difficult to find good inside linebacker play, but he is going to do anything that they can to fix that. Also talked about the wide receivers. I expect him to go and make those moves in free agency like Steve was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But Leroy, I think the one thing that gives me confidence in Brian Gutekunst moving forward is the ability that he's had and the propensity early to show that he is not going to hang on for a guy maybe a year or two late because, well, he's my guy. He's been open to making the move. Jamon Moore was his highest drafted wide receiver in the fourth round. Cut him in camp this year. Yep. I mean, like those.
I drafted him too.
That was his first big pull on the offensive side, right? And like to be able, Leroy, to correct the mistake and go after it with both avenues, that gives me some confidence. How about you?
Yeah, I think, you know, when he realized that Trevor Davis was probably a mistake and went out and got Tyler Irvin, that really helped. That's the end season stuff.
True.
That me, Steve, and Gary and Rami at the time wanted Ted to do, and Ted wouldn't do that. I mean, could they have got Emmanuel Sanders? I don't know. But he said he evaluated all those guys and didn't see a value to it. And these guys have got this kind of robotic structure that, you know, that fans are never going to get that. Because fans look at fantasy football. That guy, because when you're on the waiver wire for fantasy football, you could go analytics, or you can just, if you like a guy, now, I test, and you say, well, does that guy, why don't they go get this, draft this guy? You would think with receiver, speed would be the one thing you could always rely on. And I think they were looking for size and speed. But when I say speed, I'm not talking about a 40-yard dash. I'm talking about somebody with some wiggle that if they do get it in space, they're gone. And I've always wanted them to get, you know, a little small guy that can sit down in the
hole. Like a Taylor Gabriel.
Yeah, one of those little guys like that, man, that can get out and run. And when they catch it, the yards after the catch, it's just unbelievable. But I think they missed on receiver. And just like Steve saying, we don't know where his good spot is going to be. This draft here, he's going to be one that can really make or break what people think about him. Because you got a team that was in the championship game. You got to build off of this and see, it always depends on what comes first, free agency or the draft. Free agency is first because you got to either keep your own or you got to go get somebody else's.
True.
And you got to do that right away. So once you get into the combine, you go through all this. And see, I just don't have a good feel for his scouting department. Now, I knew Ted's scouting department. I knew these guys. I've been knowing them for years.
Mm-hmm.
Elliot Wolf and Hod Smith. And all those guys, the young man in Kansas City, Steve.
John Dorsey.
Tim Terry.
Tim Terry. I knew all those guys. Dorsey is another one.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of knew what they were thinking, what they were leaning towards. This group, I don't know. I don't really know. And then I think it's kind of an on-the-job training thing, like what's really needed. Because if you listen to that press conference, don't sound like they really need anything. I mean, we just, you know, just like – when Steve said he liked the press conference, I know I was going to hate it. Because he said it was, you just sitting around talking
guys. I was super open.
I don't want it, no. You get out of
so
that
open
podium
as
soon as possible.
30 minutes, Leroy.
No, stood man, up there and 10, say, guys, 15 minutes and I'm out.
However much you guys need, I'm here to answer some questions.
Like,
so what do you guys
like
got?
You should have been like sitting in front of a fireplace in a chair, fireside chat with Brian Gutekunst.
Yeah.
Like everybody... I'll grab a drink, you know, some scotch, some ice, and let's go. Let's see what he's got to say. That's what it felt like. He was just so relaxed. He didn't realize there were microphones or TV cameras on him. Like, he had no idea.
Like, no, this, and talking about the wide receiver position, he just rambles on and tells you exactly what he thinks.
In different games, different guys stepped up. I thought Alan Lazard had some pretty good moments in clutch time. You know, obviously in that last game, there was a fourth and two that, you know, here was a guy who we cut and brought back, and he's catching a fourth and two in the NFC Championship game. So I thought there's some guys that stepped up in some pretty big moments. I think there was consistency. We didn't have anybody kind of step into that role consistency. And I think consistently, and I think that, you know, there'll be some opportunity for those guys next year. And obviously, I think that'll be a position that we look to add.
Yes, it better be a position that you look to add, Brian, because, Leroy, like you were saying, you know, if they're going to get a step up from Aaron Rodgers, which is the center lane. How much better do you think Aaron Rodgers can be in year two? Matt LaFleur is, I mean, he's pretty optimistic about Aaron in year two.
Really excited to see what he can do in year two. You know, I know Matt talks a lot about Matt Ryan and what he did in year two, the comparatives there. Yeah, obviously, Aaron is, he's played at an elite level a long time, and seeing what he did year one with Matt, I'm just really excited where the offense and him can go.
Okay, so let me read that. I think I read it wrong. He's saying in their conversation, which we shouldn't know about, by the way.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
That Matt came to him and said, man, everything will be fine because Matt Ryan in this offense, look at the numbers. That
we second year took a huge jump.
Yeah, we shouldn't even know about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what Steve like, I don't like. Nah, because some of this stuff needs to, your conversations need to stay kind of to yourself.
Sure.
That way you won't never just feel like that you're defending every move. Just let people be happy with that move. Because the Rashawn Gary stuff was a little head scratcher. Because you're putting too much attention on him when the attention should have been on the Smith brothers.
Yeah, how good did you think Rashawn Gary was this year? I thought he was a lot better than everyone else thought he was this year.
Yeah.
Now, when you talk about Matt Ryan and that comparison, Leroy, mm-hmm. Matt Ryan, 31 years old when he won his MVP in that 2016 year, which is the year that they're addressing to. The year before, he threw 16 picks, second highest in his career for a total, and yep. then just goes off the next year with 38 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. So, I mean, like, those numbers mm-hmm. were ungodly. He threw for almost 5,000 yards in that year.
Amazing.
To see those kind of
you
numbers
say
would be
threw
insane.
More attempts than him that year.
Aaron had more attempts this year than Matt Ryan did in the year that he threw for almost 5,000 yards. Ryan threw it 534 times that year. Aaron Rodgers threw it 569 times this year.
But I think Aaron's yards per catch is way down. That used to be like
100%. Used to be a lot higher than it was this year for
and
sure.
And that's okay in this offense if you're going to just dump it down. But the Detroit game, the 16 overthrows, that just keeps start bringing your numbers down.
Well, that's true. And it did that quite often. And there were a few different nights where you looked at it and said, dude, where are the numbers? Where is the average that we're looking for? And still, I think some of it kind of was the curve was wrecked in the postseason. Sparky, we talked about his numbers in the NFC title games yesterday, and his completion percentages, yardages were kind of wrecked by the curve late in the game, in the Atlanta game in 16, and as well here in San Francisco. But with Matt LaFleur adjusting from year one, what impressed you this year that gives you confidence moving into year two, but also some other things that might worry you in that sense as well?
I'm really, really happy about how he used Aaron Jones. I think that was a big factor. Getting him his 20 to 25 touches a game. He tried to do that for the most part, I think, in quite a few games this year. Not only handing him the ball, but getting him involved in the passing game. And Jones really showed everybody that he could run a route, that he could mm-hmm. catch a football. And that is something that wasn't utilized with the previous regime with Aaron Jones. So very, very excited to see that. Something that I'm a little bit worried about from what I saw this year and how this year ended, the lack of run defense concerns me greatly. And hearing Matt LaFleur talk about, oh, Mike Penn and his staff did such a great job, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, fine. Well, you didn't have to worry about stopping the run the majority of the year because most teams in this league don't run like San Francisco does, right? So it wasn't a huge issue. Fact of the matter is, if you're going to get to the Super Bowl in the next couple of years, you're more than likely going to have to go through San Francisco, barring them getting really hurt and taking themselves out of it with injury. More than likely, that's who you're going to have to go through. So if you do not figure out how to stop the run better next year, you're going to set yourself up for a similar fate where you have a great regular season, and then it's going to end in the same spot that it ended in this year.
Leroy, what impressed you the most out of Matt LaFleur in his first year?
Just being so calm. Because, I mean, this could have drove a lot of coaches crazy. I mean, dealing with, you know, play calling for the first time, dealing with Aaron Rodgers, what he likes and what you like, and then now you got these free agents came in with all this money. I mean, they want to change pitchers around. I mean, he gets his Achilles torn up, you know, playing basketball, and people taking you serious. And they're like, man, this guy shouldn't be doing that. Most coaches, you just see them standing somewhere folding their arms. But that's just not how it is anymore. This is 100% on-the-job training. I was so impressed at the way he was just even and relaxed. That's what they needed, because McCarthy got a little fiery, you know, sometimes.
For sure he did, yeah.
And I think it may have worn on his team a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
So now these guys can be their own guys. They can do what they want. I mean, it's almost – because most 30-year-olds get along with 30-year-olds. I mean, if you're 51 years old, you should not be hanging out with guys in your 20s.
Sure.
Because you're married, these guys aren't, you're going to get in trouble, okay? So if you get guys that got just as much to lose as you, it helps.
You get it now?
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense.
Now you understand.
Yeah, it makes a lot more sense why he never wants to hang out with me on Saturday.
Oh, no, I ain't letting you get me in now, because
I get it.
Ain't happening.
I wouldn't – you know what, Leroy? I don't want you to get in trouble. I want you to go over each time you talk to Dean Murray at the Jewelry Center because it's about something you – because you love your wife.
He's a problem solver.
Not because you're in a problem that I caused.
And that's the thing about the Jewelry Center, guys. You walk in there with a problem, you leave, it's solved. If you walk in there and you need somebody to help you fix anything – if it got anything to do with jewelry, if you just want some advice, that's what I also tell people you can use Dean for. You know, people get stuff appraised all the time just to see if it's actually what you thought you bought. Come on out the malls, come on out those strip. No, those places are not going to give you what you want. You got to go to somebody that you trust. You can go to Shop TJC right now as we, because it's some sleet and some, I don't know what it is.
I'm not trying to go outside, no.
Yeah, so if you can't make it, you know, just pick your phone up and go to TJC.com. But if you're out and about, you know, drive safely, 7477, you know, right off of Layton, just go up in there, you know, get a free bottle of water and some Tucci Rose, sit down, and by the time you put that candy in your mouth, Dean is coming up to you saying, how can we help you? Well, you know, I got some old gold I got laying around. I hear Leroy Butler talk about it all the time. And, you know, I want to see what you can give me for it. You know, my wife is, you know, I'm thinking about popping a question in May.
Don't do it.
You know, I want you
don't
to.
Do it.
And I got about, you know, $5,000 to spend. You know,
goodness,
what can you
great.
Give me for that? You
know, a lot of money.
I can give you this, and this. And you know what else I'm going to do for you? I'm going to let you design it yourself, and we don't have it. But we got everything. We have everything that you need. If you're in Blue Mound, 17100 West Blue Mound Road, Suite 206, 348 West Pine Street in Burlington. Guys, I'm telling you, if you're going anywhere else for your jewelry, you're paying too much, or you're getting ripped off, or it may not even be real. May not even. So listen to me. The Jewelry Center. I almost said it's Leroy Butler, but it's not me. It's Dean Murray. I'm Leroy Butler. But
you're Leroy
place.
Butler. That's not your place. You wish it was sometimes.
You know, he makes you feel like that, though. When you go there, you can walk around and just kind of shop.
Hang out, see what you need.
The worst thing I hate
stuff.
Is when I go shopping, guys, and I see somebody hovering behind me. I can't stand that. I'll come get you when I'm ready. Don't be every time I turn around, I bump into you.
That's because it's who you are.
Oh,
because
I'm black?
It doesn't happen
nice
to the rest
job,
of
Steve.
Us.
Nice job,
Steve. Doesn't happen to the rest
yeah,
of us.
Yeah, it don't
man.
Happen to you and Billy, so you say it happened to me because I'm black. That is so wrong.
All right, let's get out of that's here before we indict ourselves. I got into some problems and caused myself some issues last night with something I said at the huddle,
uh-oh.
So I'm going to cut both of you guys
uh-oh.
Off before you say something that's going to get you
just
in
pray.
Trouble.
Just
and we're
going
to talk to Michael Lombardi, former GM, NRRadio.com Sports NFL Insider, next on The Van.
I've gotten to know Matt over the you know the past 12 months. I think just been really, really impressed with his work ethic, his ability to communicate with our players and throughout the organization. We had a lot of work to do back last January, and just you know being able to kind of get to where we are now, we've had a lot of change. So it's pretty exciting going forward.
105.7 FM, The Fan, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. I'm Bill Schmidt, joined by Steve Sparky Pfeiffer and Leap 36, Leroy Butler. Soon to be Pro Football Hall of Famer. The finalist joins us here as well at the table. And now joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, he's our Radio.com Sports NFL Insider, former personnel man in the NFL, Super Bowl champ Michael Lombardi joins us. Our Radio.com Sports NFL Insiders always join us via the Great Midwest Bank Hotline and courtesy of the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Michael, appreciate the time today on a Friday.
No problem. Good to be here. Thank you, guys.
Michael, what was your first initial ideas and reaction to the year that Matt LaFleur had this year, as obviously he was not the first choice or the obvious choice to take over the Green Bay Packers?
You know, I think I'm still a little indifferent to it. I'm a little confused by it. You know, when I watched Tennessee's offense last year, I just was never wowed by it. And then when I watched the Packers' offense this year, I was never really wowed by it. I thought their performance against San Francisco, as I said on my podcast, the GM Shuffle, you know, you go 1-for-15 on third down in the first game in week 12. Okay, fine. Then you go 0-for-4 in the second half. That's 1-for-19 in two games against the defense. It just ain't on the players. You just can't blame the players that we're not good enough, right? The coach's job is to make it for the players, make it easier. You've got a Hall of Fame quarterback. You're 1-for-19 on third down in the big game. And then you come out and say that you didn't think your team was ready. You didn't think your team was fired out. Well, that's the job of the head coach. And I think it's a hard job. I think it's a job today that requires – it's the hardest it's ever been. I started in the National Football League in 1984. I think it's the hardest it's ever been. And yet we're hiring guys with very little experience to deal with it. And I think it does pay some price, and you're going to pay a price for it.
How do you explain 13-3?
You know, I think they've been really fortunate in close games. A plus 51-point differential in those games. Played a lot of close games and won a lot of close games. You know, I think look at the Detroit game at the end of the season. You know, you got to win that game, and it's as close as it can be. And they made the plays to win it, sometimes defensively, sometimes they made a play offensively. But if you think that offense was the level of Kansas City or the level of when San Francisco wants to go or New Orleans, it's not.
I'll continue on. So let's look at it from this standpoint. Well, I wasn't thinking
you. Continue on. I mean,
I'm not
the record.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm not disagreeing with you on the offense whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But my point on this is when you look at that game, or both games actually, the line of scrimmage was the key point in both those games. We talked about it going into that game, that if they couldn't control the line of scrimmage on the defensive line, that they were going to get ran all over, and that's exactly what happened. And the offensive line, the key was obviously getting Aaron Jones going, but once again, like the previous game, they got so far behind, they pretty much took the running game out of it. So defensively then, I mean, I understand your point on the offense, but defensively, when you get absolutely tore up in two games against San Francisco, what then is the solution for next year?
You know, I don't know. I mean, look, they're the number two ranked team in the league. The opponent had to throw the ball 8 times. They never set the edge of the defense twice.
Yep.
Right? Now, they went I'm told that they had walkthroughs all week. They went inside the bubble. Right? They play with no physicality. Look, I don't care that you don't have a great defensive line. You're the number two ranked team in the NFC. You're not like – it's not Navy playing LSU, right? It's not it's a game that you can compete and you can give your players a better chance. And you got, it starts with setting the edge. People say, do you think it was Kyle Shanahan didn't want Jimmy Garoppolo to play in the game? Of course not. Why would he call a pass when the runs were getting 8 yards? Why would he defend himself? Why would he ever stop him? I mean, make the defense stop him, right? I mean, Reimer's played in the league 100 years. He knows you run the ball like that. That is, your coaches can help you stop it, you know, no matter who you are. And I just think it was a whole, the performance of the team. Look, the Seattle game, I think the play of the game was the blitz. They got the 3rd-and-6 blitz they called, because if Seattle scores there on the final drive of the game, I don't think they're going to win that game. So they were fortunate, made some great calls. Don't dismiss the record. But here's the mistake you're going to make. When you win this many games, next year you think it's going to come back again. Those close games don't go in your favor.
Right.
And all of a sudden, setting the schedule. Just ask the Chicago Bears how that works for them.
Yeah, because I was shocked, because I know I was wrong. I thought it would come down to quarterback play. I thought that Aaron Rodgers, if he had to, would put up big numbers trying to keep his team into the game. And I thought Jimmy Garoppolo, who has never been in a championship game the way he started, maybe throw you a couple picks. But obviously I was wrong with that. Is it still up to quarterbacks now to get to the Super Bowl, you think, Michael? Or maybe you don't need a great Hall of Fame quarterback, just a good running game and a good defense.
Here's what I think, Leroy. I think this. I think you certainly need a quarterback to win a championship. But what you need more than ever is, I really think you need a coach that understands how to attack the rules of the defense. So if you watch any Patriot tape against Seattle, go back to 49, go back to any time, and San Francisco runs the basic Seattle defense. They run that scheme. Josh McDaniels put 500 yards on him in the Super Bowl. He moved the ball up and down the field. That defensive front was as good as the 49er front was then. They had a bunch of guys up there, and the Patriots' offensive line wasn't very good. We didn't block very many people in that game, but we got the ball out quick. We made plays. And I think what happens is I see the Packers' offense attacking the coverages, not the rules of the coverages. It's a big difference. When you attack the rules of the coverage, you are attacking the weakness within the defense, and you force them to make decisions that they really don't want to make, and you make them pay. And that's what I've never seen from a Matt LaFleur coached offense. I didn't see it at Tennessee. He was 0 for 10 on third down against Baltimore and Don Martindale when he was at Tennessee last year. That's what I had a problem with. Matt, maybe he's going to grow into a great coach and give him some time. But right now, they are not on the same chess level as some of the other people in the NFL.
Talking with Michael Lombardi, YarRadio.com Sports NFL Insider, host of the GM Shuffle podcast here on the Wendy's Big Show, 105.7 FM, The Fan. Michael, what did you see out of Aaron Rodgers play this year?
You know, I was, to be honest, I'm disappointed. I think Aaron can be better. Look, the guy that I thought they should have hired in Green Bay is Mike Shanahan. I said it on my podcast last year. I thought they should have hired Mike because here's why. When you have a Hall of Fame quarterback who knows what he wants to do, he better have somebody walk in the room and say, I've won two Super Bowls. We've won this way. Here's the way we got to do it. Okay? You've got to have some clout. But when you walk in with a guy who was running the 29th-ranked defense of Tennessee and tells Aaron that this is the guy who's going to save us, I think it becomes a problem. I think he got a little bit of a problem. So I think Aaron, if you look at his numbers, they were actually better with McCarthy than they were this year. Now, they ran the ball much more effectively this year than they did with McCarthy, partly because Aaron Jones was healthy this year. So, you know, I think there's still great years in Aaron Rodgers. I just think it's going to have to be in a style of offense that's a little bit more allows him to be a better player.
So do you think it's too late for Matt to say, you know what? I'm going to step back. I'm going to hire a passing coordinator who can call the plays and maybe change the offense and maybe do what Eric Bieniemy is doing and, you know, with Patrick Mahomes, some kind of a spread deal. Cause I know Matt doesn't want to do that, though. Do you think he's not going to do that,
Leroy, because no. he got hired because Murphy convinced everybody that this was an offensive guru. So, maybe he will be. And maybe he will be. You know, he's a young coach. But so far away from Sean McVay, there hasn't been a lot of room in the guru, you know? And so you're going to have to figure it out. And the way you become a guru in the NFL is you attack the rules. You don't attack the coverage. You know, when you run cover three beaters and you play long enough to know, hey, this is the way they're going to attack us on defense.
Right.
Here's a cover three beater. Here's a cover two beater. You run the beaters. The defense knows what the beaters are. But when you run plays to attack the rules, where you got to carry number two vertically in this front, in this defense. No matter what happens, you got two vertically. And then they put somebody airward two carry, and all of a sudden there's no answer for it. That's what great offensive coaches do. That's how they move the ball. That's how Josh McDaniels got 500 yards in the Super Bowl against them. That's how they did it against the Eagles the same way. That's how Kyle Shanahan does it. That's how Mike Shanahan did it.
All right, so this offseason, the Packers are going to have some money in free agency to play with, obviously their draft picks as well. If you're running this team, if you're the general manager, what are you looking to add?
Well, I got to add some skill. I got to get some pressure off of Devontae Adams. I've got to add some skill. I've got to add some defensive linemen. I mean, I got to fix the defense because the defense is a little bit what I call battleship football, right? If he guesses right with his calls, remember you played battleship as a kid?
Yeah,
K-5,
he saved my battleship.
Yes, yeah, K-5 miss, free hit, right?
Right.
You know, that's the way they call defenses. When they hit it, oh, my God, they keep going, right? So they got to have to be able to bounce, and we better find some corners that are going to be willing to tackle because when you're getting your edge run by the way they did, you got to have corners that will tackle. I think Alexander's a really good player. They're going to have to improve all levels of their defense. They got to get faster on defense, but they got to get bigger and physical up front because when you only allow 8 passes, thrown against you, it's more than just, okay, you know, we got to improve just one level of our defense.
joining us right now, the host of the GM Shuffle podcast, our radio.com sports NFL insider. He is tremendous. He's Michael Lombardi on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Michael, when you look at the entirety of the NFL, what team surprised you the most this year?
Well, I think, look, I love Lamar Jackson. I got killed when I said the Browns should pick Bradley Chubb and Quentin Nelson and trade back into the first round and take Lamar. And everybody called me an idiot, you know. And so, and I'm shocked he played to the level that he played this year. To be the MVP of the league, which he will be on Saturday, right? Yep. Which he will be next Saturday. It's remarkable. As much as I love Lamar, I didn't see him being the MVP in the second season. So that really surprised me. And Baltimore's ability to adapt the offense, take your hat off to John Harbaugh, even though it didn't work in the playoffs, and it wasn't really the fault of his offense as much as it was they couldn't stop Henry, and they couldn't stop him, and they couldn't convert fourth and short, which they did all season. So for me, that was the story. I mean, Green Bay winning 14 games, really, I never felt like they were a 14-win team. I never felt like just the Detroit game. It was one of those games where, and then when I bought them, when I saw them beat Minnesota, I'm like, well, maybe I'm underestimating this team a little bit because they played really good in Minnesota. But the reality of it is when they played Seattle and then when they played San Francisco, it just wasn't there.
Michael, when you talk about, we'll see on this upcoming Saturday when Lamar Jackson is named the MVP of the NFL, do you believe our guy Leroy Butler will be also accepting his gold jacket? What did you in your long extended career in the NFL see out of 36?
Well, I think, you know, to me, the Hall of Fame is for a place for guys like Leroy Butler that when you go on Tuesday and you start talking about you're getting ready to play the team, you talk about certain players in awe. And you talk about players, what I call them Tuesday players. You know, Aaron Rodgers, Leroy Butler, hey, if we don't do something about this guy, he's going to disrupt the game. Or if we don't stop this guy, he's going to beat us throwing the football. Tuesday players or game plan players, those are the guys that belong in the Hall of Fame. Guys that are in the top five of their positions consistently throughout their NFL career. Guys who make their team better, who make players around them better. Those are the guys that are in the Hall of Fame. And then guys that win championships, those are what makes the team. And certainly Leroy qualifies for all those categories. And I think as the game has changed, he was able to adapt to the game because of his skill set.
Michael, really appreciate the time today. Know it's the weekend. Get it started the right way and go enjoy yourself here tonight. We really appreciate the time.
Thank you so much.
That's Michael Lombardi joining us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline, host of the GM Shuffle podcast, our radio.com sports NFL insider, Super Bowl champion. He joins us on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. Is your passion outgrowing your home? A Great Midwest Bank home renovation loan may give you the space it deserves. Visit greatmidwestbank.com. Simply local lending since 1935. And our radio.com sports insiders are always brought to you by the new gas-powered Sprinter from Mercedes-Benz Vans. 414-799-1250 is the phone number if you want to join the conversation here on the Wendy's Big Show. Still some time for you. We wrap things up here on a Friday edition, and also we got a great place for you to get some dinner.
That's absolutely right. Look, Wendy's is the place where you want to be, right?
It's your key tag.
That's
exactly what I'm going to talk about.
I didn't mean to interrupt you.
That's okay. Apologize. They're back while supplies last, and they're not going to last much longer. No. You could buy a Wendy's Frosty key tag for just $2. I know it's snowing out. Which, in return, you can get a free Junior Frosty with every purchase for a year.
I don't know how they're making money on
and
this.
And I'm here to tell you, I will have a Frosty in the snow,
volume,
in the sun, in the rain. It does not matter. Just get me a Frosty. It's a great gift for teachers, coworkers, family, friends. $2, you get yourself a free Junior Frosty with every purchase for a year by getting yourself a Wendy's Frosty key tag. And you get to give a gift while giving a gift to the Wendy's wonderful kids of Wisconsin in foster care. So these kids find their forever homes while supplies last.
This is the Wendy's Big Show on 105.7 FM, the Fan 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app.
I think it was evident in the two games we played that we got a lot of work to do, you know, if we want to be on that level. At the same time, you know, they were number one, we were number two, you know, in the NFC. So every year is different, and there'll be new challenges next year, whether it's them or somebody else. So my thought process on that is, you know, we're constantly working to be as good as we can be, and we know that there's a lot of areas we can get better in.
That's Brian Gutekunst discussing the talent gap that is there between the Green Bay Packers and the San Francisco 49ers, something that a lot of guys didn't necessarily want to discuss, but everybody knew that it was pretty, I mean, obvious and blatant. Just talk to Michael Lombardi. If you missed that, hit the radio.com rewind feature. Just go right back, or you can check it out once we are done here at 6 o'clock on your radio.com app, or 1057fmthefan.com, Fan On Demand. That's also where you can find our conversation that we had today with Ryan Wood, who was up at Brian Gutekunst's final season-ending press conference, as well as Sidney Moncrief, the Basketball Hall of Famer, joined us around 4:35 after the Bucks took
he
out.
He was great.
Just tremendous, man. Platinum guy.
He was great.
My favorite part about talking with Sidney Moncrief is, like, he... You asked him the question, Leroy, about, I love watching you guys play because you guys play defense, right? And when I bring that up on the post-game show, whenever I talk to him, and Sidney Moncrief will join us again on Tuesday night when the Bucks are back at home against the Washington Wizards, it's, this team could play in any era because they play defense and because their superstar is also one of the best defensive players. Like, that part of it gives some excitement from that standpoint as well, where a lot of people don't watch the NBA because they say they don't play defense. Instead, they're like, I'm going to go watch college basketball because there's a lot more defense played. No, the players just aren't as good.
The players aren't as good in college. There's no question
about
that.
That's just what it is. I'm sorry.
But there normally is more defense played in the playoffs for the NBA.
True.
Yeah.
Just
yeah,
like, I agree.
Yeah.
Just like the NHL. That's a different sport, regular season of playoffs.
Yeah.
A lot of people tune in to watch just the playoffs in the NHL and don't watch much of the regular season. It really isn't much different. Major League Baseball, same type of stuff. The way the games are managed in the playoffs and the way the game is played in the playoffs in the MLB, much different than what you're going to see in the middle of June or the middle of July.
So I had to bring this to you, Sparky. Dallas Keuchel.
Yeah, I know.
Earlier today. One of your favorites.
I saw.
Signed by the Chicago White Sox this year, member of the Houston Astros in 2017. Quote, it's just what the state of baseball was at the point in time. Was it against the rules? Yes, it was. And personally, I am sorry for what's come of the whole situation as he apologizes for his part in the sign-stealing aspect. Then says, Keuchel apologized for the sign-stealing action. He said, quote, not like every game we had it going on.
Right, because they had to go on the road. Right. They had to go on the road.
It's not like we had it all 162 games.
So what, we had to go on the road. So
compelled him to even make a statement.
Because they were asking him about it today for the White Sox.
So? And now he's in the Chicago media, so now he gets to discuss it. Here, we got a little bit of sound from him.
Subject, because there's such a tight-knit community in the clubhouse, and in baseball especially. You're playing 162 games at least in the regular season, plus spring training, and then maybe in the playoffs if you're lucky. So you're pushing 185, 200 games, and it sucks to the extent of the clubhouse rule was broken. I mean, and that's where I'll go with that.
So he had an opportunity to defend Mike Fiers for being the only person to finally have a conscience and say, guys, what we were doing was wrong. And then go out and put his name out on it. And also, I mean, really have an opportunity to be blackballed by the MLB because of his clubhouse rule was broken. No, he was just the only dude that came out and said, yeah, they're cheating over there. And now I play for the A's, so I understand that I won a title with them. But they're cheating now, so I'm not going to lose my job. And I'm not going to let anybody else lose their job.
See, and it's interesting because, you know, you look at these guys and look at the offensive numbers from some of the players on this team. Now, what happens if the offensive numbers all of a sudden drop off for an Altuve? What happens if the offensive numbers all of a sudden drop off for a Springer or some of these guys?
Yeah,
then what?
Or Bregman, whatever
right.
it is. Yeah.
What then? So then is it going to be like the PED era where it's, or the steroid era where it's McGuire and Sosa and all those guys, Bonds, and they're tainted and they're never going into the Hall? Are these guys going to be held to the same standard as those guys? Or are these guys not going to be held to that? And like, oh, well, put them in the Hall of Fame.
Well, they were granted immunity because Major League Baseball just wanted to get the thing done with. That's
right.
That's the most frustrating part of it for me is you bent the rules because you just wanted to get it done with. And I understand the steroid era lasted a million years, right? The stuff was going on when I was first born, and I read Game of Shadows the day that it came out when I was in middle school. So it was a long process that got drawn out over a number of years and frustrated clubs, frustrated teams, frustrated fans. But ultimately, I think they got it right because the guys that were cheating were called out on it, brought onto the carpet. Now, some of them still have jobs, Gabe Kapler. Yep. But you continue to look through the line. You brought up Roger Clemens. You brought up Barry Bonds. Those dudes, just for the Hall of Fame this week, Bonds was tracking 75%, which is the qualifying number to get.
Ended up at 60.
Ended up at 60 because a bunch of dudes just finally said, no, I'm not getting in.
Yeah, I wouldn't put him in either. There's no way. None of those guys go in.
But I don't know how you don't have some part of that era in the Hall of Fame.
Right. You could just erase the whole era?
Yeah. Yeah, I think so. We've had that conversation before on this afternoon show as far as how you do it and whether or not you just say nobody's going in this era. Failed or not, we're just not allowing anybody in. We're just going to just be done with it.
So you
wipe it out.
So you agree with the young man that left Jeter off the ballot too, huh?
Why did was Jeter a cheater?
I'm just asking.
Not that I know of.
I'm just asking.
No,
maybe just on the other girls that he was giving gift baskets.
You don't think that was proper, right?
No, we talked about that. Didn't we talk about that?
No, but we got new people. They didn't hear it.
Yeah.
I mean, did you forget what your answer was? Or?
No, I was fine with it.
Oh, you were fine that he left Jeter off?
No, I was fine with everybody being upset at the dude. Because like I said before, okay. I've got a feeling, and I don't know this for sure, but they just had a guy on earlier today who voted for the All-Star guys in the NBA on from the Bleacher Report, I think it was, this morning.
Uh-huh.
And he said he didn't vote for Jimmy Butler because he thought he was going to make it. So he voted for somebody else. And
that
Butler
heard.
Doesn't make the starter position. I'm telling you, and we don't know who the guy is that didn't vote for Jeter, but mark my words,
we'll
this person,
out.
Whoever it is, man or female, whoever it is, bet you money, didn't think it was a big deal if he got in as far as everybody voting for him or not. Probably
so you're going to be the smartest person in the room.
Probably he's in. What's the big difference if everybody votes for him or not? I'm going to try and help somebody else get in that I want to see in so they cast the votes somewhere else.
That's what
not
makes
realizing
me nervous
it's
about
a,
any kind of voting if they don't like you. Or
it's a
they
special don't, deal. I don't think anything to do with liking Jeter. Everybody likes Jeter.
No, I'm saying it may be a player that you don't like.
Right, then you don't vote for him.
How many people you don't think like you?
Everybody likes me. I mean,
we'll
I would hope
out.
So. Yeah, we'll see you here in a couple of
we'll find
about
out.
8 days or so.
Did you tell Pete Doherty to make sure to write down all the names of the people that bash you in that session?
No, who bash who?
We're just going to send them to
no,
you.
No, I don't care
when you,
about
when
that.
You get to the Hall of Fame, because Doherty nah. gets up from the Green Bay Press Gazette, he's going to be like, Leroy Butler should be in, and then he's going to go on a 5-minute diatribe with. Yeah. He's got PowerPoint, he's got film, he's got all that's going to be a big elaborate setup. Fireworks are going to go off outside after he's done. It's going to be great. And then somebody's going to stand up. Another writer is going to be like, man,
probably
get
Michael
out of here.
Look
at what John Lynch did in his career, man.
No,
and, man, just took a team to the Super Bowl.
No,
it'd be great
no,
PR
no.
for the league. We put Lynch in the Hall of Fame here. Yeah. What was that? It's some station in Milwaukee nobody even knows about. We'll put Lynch in. We'll get more publicity out of it, everything else. Leroy can wait a few more years.
No,
you don't want him to write down that person's name?
No, I don't care who that people. I mean, God is good. I don't care who that is.
I'd want to
If
know.
You didn't vote, voting is the American way. That's how you figure it's fair.
Sure. But, good way to put it.
I mean, really, voting is everything that's your American, your right. You can vote. When you go into a ballot and you close the curtains between you and God, you just vote who you want. I don't have a problem with that. But Derek Jeter and leaving Jimmy Butler off, he has an awesome last name, by the way, that's kind of head-scratcher to me. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm going to take it further. If it wasn't illegal when Bonds and McGuire and Sosa and them was doing, was it illegal or was it legal? See, Major League Baseball, if it was legal when they were using creams on it, they weren't testing for it, I'm not going to blame the boys for it. I'm blaming Major League Baseball because I don't think they made a big deal about this until what, like 7-8 years ago? I mean,
people
want
no people
How long
listen.
Ago?
So when that's
because it wasn't even testing for it until I saw that Angelstein in McGuire's locker,
right?
Whatever it was called,
and the blood on his pants.
I don't know about the blood on his pants.
The deal was when they went when they had that strikeout, lockout, whatever you want to call it, where they missed the World Series.
Yep.
The commissioner of baseball, Bud Selig, had to determine whether or
who
not
I like. That's my guy.
Okay. Well, he was going against I call the little devil and Donald Fear for the Players Association. And it was
even
those
you can't
two
call people a devil,
dude. I can't stand that, dude.
Yeah, but can't say devil, though.
I'm not a big fan.
That's the extreme. But you can call him anything, but devil.
What do you want me to call him?
Just call
something
him by his name.
Something that the FCC regulates.
Just call him by his name, and people who like him and those dislike him, they can make their own judgment.
That clown, Donald Fear.
I don't know. Clown, fine. That clown, Donald Fear.
Why would you say that?
Is that better?
No, it's not.
No,
but go. I know your point. Go ahead.
That guy.
That's better.
Is that better?
Yeah, this guy is just as bad as this guy.
Right.
That's just as bad.
What it came down to.
It is. No one wants to be called this guy.
What it came down to was simply whether or not Bud wanted to possibly lose another baseball season over holding out for more for drug testing.
Right.
And he was trying. But he had to make a determination. How long are we going to... We already lost this whole season. So how much longer are we... We lost the World Series. At some point, I got to give in and we got to go. He got revenue sharing out of that deal. He got a bunch of other stuff out of the Players Association. At some point, he had to say, I'll fight this battle another day. We got to get back. And that's what he did. He wanted to get back. He couldn't afford to have them lose much more. And that was it. That was a sacrifice he made. They eventually got it.
But before then...
They knew... And they definitely...
But were they testing for it?
No. That's what he was fighting to try to get.
So that year, right there, there's your red line.
Well, when that they had year the coming year. Out. Yeah. The year coming year. Out of the strike is when it blew up, because that's when McGuire and Sosa went nuts.
Right.
So once they knew it was free, and they're like, okay, we can still do this stuff, we're going to blow it out of the water, and we're going to blow up like Popeye.
Sammy Sosa says he saved baseball, him and McGuire.
So. I think he did, because he had people like me who hate baseball because it's boring.
Mm-hmm.
Watch it.
Right.
So I agree with that.
Well, and there's still...
I agree with that.
Now, that's the issue in the fine line you walk with the Astros. I don't know how many more people were interested in watching the in baseball because the Astros were hitting the ball all over the place because they were cheating. Right. Now, at least in,
allegedly.
Like you're saying, no, they were cheating.
That's the only way to say it. So we can keep it moving.
There's a difference between changing the game for the good of the entire league and also the good of just one clubhouse. Mike Fiers changed it the good of the entire league, everybody else for the Astros.
So is he viewed the same way as Canseco then?
That's what I was finna say, Steve.
Is he viewed the same way as Canseco?
That's what I was finna say.
He should be better.
Somebody's going to write a book about this,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, for sure. He should be viewed as better because he wasn't hitting the ball.
And he didn't profit off of this. He wasn't trying to sell a book, Fiers.
He might need to now.
He didn't write a
book.
Look
at his finger.
What about his finger?
It's got a nice old ring on it now.
But that was before. I'm saying Canseco was trying to sell books.
Got
he put
it.
All that in. He was trying to make money for himself by exploiting and letting everybody know. So he was trying to make money. Fiers didn't make any money by making that comment.
Well, maybe
nobody was paying him. He doesn't get his own talk show or anything.
He's going to get a book deal out of it.
But what he did do is he saved a lot of guys' jobs because there was a laundry list of players. And think about a 4A dude that's coming up here for his first chance in the big leagues. Where do you make your first start? Houston, great. I get lit up for 7 runs in 2/3 of an inning. Never see the big leagues again. Like, that part of it was the ones where I think he was fighting and absolutely did, you know, save some guys' livelihood. They're great debate, and it's just a shame that it all ended up going down as bad as it did. Young Express, Steve Sparky Fife.
Young Express, coming. We talk about so much. It's continuing to grow. Are you looking for a new career? Would you like to be a part of a Christian-based, family-run company? It's been in business for over 27 years. That's a long time. Well, they're Young Express, currently looking to add positions in their sales department. You've heard me talk about what a great company this is to work for. Now go check them out online at youngexpress.com, JUNGExpress.com. Now, when I work in sales, here's what Young Express is looking for. High degree of integrity, energetic, friendly personality, willing to prospect new business via phone, email, and social selling. Reliable transportation, willingness to travel within an assigned territory, high school diploma or equivalent, outside sales experience preferred. Excellent written, oral, and face-to-face communication skills are essential. Closing and follow-up skills are a must. What can you expect from Young Express if they hire you? To do sales, 40-hour work week, salary plus commissions, bonuses, and contests. Generous mileage reimbursement, expense account, health insurance, 401k, cell phone, tablet, and all sales and promotional materials provided to you by Young Express. And my favorite part, fun and exciting environment and a chance to grow. Isn't that what we all want? Apply for the position that fits your passion now at youngexpress.com. Now, that's JUNGExpress.com. Now, go Young Express. Success drives them.
We'll wrap things up next. Wendy's Big Show on the Fan.
Wendy's Big Show, served up hot and fresh here on The Fan. Steve Sparky Fifer, Packer Hall of Famer Leroy Butler, Billy Baby Tosh Schmidt. And we were just talking in the break, Leroy and I, about the fact that he's headed to Iowa this weekend.
Altoona.
What?
That's how you say it.
Altoona?
I guess that's how you say it.
Isn't that a tuna? Altoona, tuna?
A-L-T-O-O-N-A.
Huh. Are a lot of Packer fans in Iowa?
I bet there's a ton of them there.
Yeah.
I was in Des Moines.
In Des Moines, I was just there. Just to Des Moines. I'm going to Bettendorf, Iowa in May.
Where's that?
don't know. By Davenport, Iowa, I think it is, or something like that. Bettendorf. I don't know. Some baseball tournament, youth baseball tournament we're going there for.
Dry safely. The weather can be bad.
Well, I'm in May, so I'm not worried about my weather. Your weather, on the other hand, I'm concerned about. You got a lot of weather.
Anyway, so I'm good.
All right, so next week we are back again getting ready to see Leroy, hopefully go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Back on Monday, we'll talk about the free agent list for the Packers and who do you want to see back for this Packers team and who do you think will actually be back for this Packers team. We'll do that coming up Monday afternoon at 2 here on the Wendy's Big Show. Enjoy your weekend and please drive safe.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.